This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Scott Simon is on assignment. NPR's senior news analyst Dan Shore, the recent recipient of the Robert F. Kennedy Lifetime Achievement Award, joins us to talk about news of the week. Congratulations, Dan.
Well, thank you, Linda. When I received the thing, all I could say was, lifetime achievement, may I add, so far.
There you go. Well, we are going to begin. Where else in Iraq?
Of course.
The United States and Britain have introduced a United Nations resolution that would end 12 years of economic sanctions against Iraq. Should the U.S. and Britain expect resistance?
Well, probably, but I think probably not very much anymore. France and Russia, Germany, I think, would like a little more say-so for the United Nations in disposing of Iraq's oil wealth. They still have some reservations about legitimizing a war that was fought without support of the United Nations. But it seems as though nobody anymore wants a repeat of the battle with the UN that preceded the war. So the chances are that this resolution may be sweetened a little bit, will be approved, and perhaps, I hate to say this, perhaps even unanimously.
Now, in the resolution, the U.S. and Britain refer to themselves for the first time as occupying powers instead of liberating forces. What does this word change mean?
Well, it's potentially very important because the word occupier is a term in international law and is governed by international treaties. It gives certain powers and responsibilities for the welfare of the people in the country that is occupied. It means that for at least the next year, the allies will have responsibility for maintaining order, for rebuilding the infrastructure. I'd have to rebuild my own infrastructure, too. That is for 1 year, that is, and that could be renewed indefinitely. So the Pentagon, which hadn't given much attention to what happens to a country after all their precision weapons go off, they're slowly gathering that the allies now have a big job. That they have to be responsible for arresting looters and crooks, turning on electricity, defending the Americans against snipers, of which there have been some. Occupation simply is not half as much fun as winning a war with precision weapons.
Dan, the president has appointed counterterrorism expert Paul Bremer as the special envoy who will be in charge of reconstruction and occupation. What happens to retired General Jay Garner, who's been running the show?
Well, General Garner, who's been running the show, is mainly taking responsibility for rehabilitation and reconstruction. He will now report to Paul Bremer, who in turn reports to the military and then means eventually all the way up to Don Rumsfeld. I imagine that General Garner will probably be going home pretty soon. The Pentagon will find itself up to its ears on occupation, something I think they never imagined they would be doing.
Now, just for one more word about those pesky weapons of mass destruction, the U.S. says that it has found a possible mobile weapons lab in Iraq. Is this the smoking gun the Allies have been looking for?
Well, it's a gun, but I'm not sure it's smoking. They found a trailer of the kind that had been used for chemical or biological weapons, but they scrubbed the thing and found no trace of the banned substances. So they have a trailer that looks like a trailer that could be used for. And Colonel Richard McPhear, who's running the investigation, says, not having found any banned substances, may never be found. It is really frustrating to have a non-smoking gun.
What kind of a pair this morning, Dan?
Yeah.
Iraqi doctors and other locals have protested the appointment of members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party to leadership positions in the reconstruction effort. How is that going? How does the United States justify arresting some Ba'athists and giving others good jobs?
Well, that's what you do when you're an occupier. How do you run a country with a bureaucracy that's largely tainted with Saddamism? You know, there have been recently some horror stories like anti-Saddam protesters still in jail, still being guarded by Saddam's jailers, sometimes demanding huge bribes to let people out of jail. You know, what it reminds me of is the post-World War II denazification process, trying to locate the rotten apples and get them out while keeping enough officials there to be able to run the show. That is what the U.S. and Britain are now involved in. They have a very, very bad people. How do you distinguish, and how many partly bad people or almost bad people do you need, or things stop dead?
Let's take a look at neighboring Iran. President Bush expressed concern this week about Iran's nuclear program, calling it very troublesome. fear of weapons of mass destruction, as we know, is a justification for invading Iraq. Is Iran on some kind of list?
Well, we know Iran is on our list because of the Axis of Evil list, which included Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. Well, Iraq's been taken care of. North Korea, they are not in a great hurry to do anything violent there. Why? Because North Korea apparently has nuclear weapons, and that changes the terms. As to Iran, apparently the administration at the moment is sticking to a diplomatic course. It's asking that Iran be declared as violating the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and that could bring sanctions, which I think about as far, I think, as the administration would like to go right now.
Secretary of State Colin Powell is in the Mideast today, the roadmap for peace. He's trying to promote it. What do you think? Is any hope for any kind of accomplishment?
Well, any hope for? I think that Secretary Powell could call it a fair day's work if he gets the two parties, the new Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas and somebody from the Sharon government, to get the two parties to simply sit down together for the first time in a year and simply look at each other and talk to each other. That would, at this point, be a pretty signal accomplishment. Then I think what he wants to do is go around among the Arab states, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, drumming up support for Prime Minister Abbas so that Abbas will not be undermined by Yasser Arafat, and then they'll see where they can go.
Let's go home for a moment. On the domestic
front, ready.
The Senate and the House have both agreed to smaller cuts than the president wants. Is this all he gets? Is his initial proposal revivable?
Is this all he gets? The House has voted $550 billion. The president originally wanted $726 billion in tax cuts, mainly by cutting out taxes on dividends. Now it goes to the Senate. The Senate has been talking $350 billion. It isn't, however, only a matter of these amounts, which are still far apart, and the Senate Republicans are more or less out of control now because there are a few moderates. It is a question of what goes along with it. Will you, for example, give some $20 billion, which has been proposed to help the states, which are really going crazy trying to achieve their goals without any money in it at a time of recession and lowered revenue. Senate will give them $350 billion in cuts. Then they're going to conference. We'll see what happens. It does not look as though the president is in control of the situation.
We saw the nine contenders for the 2004 Democratic presidential nomination debate in South Carolina last weekend. Did you ready to name the front runner?
No, I'm not. Not among the nine. I think it is entirely too early to talk about a front runner. The whole thing looked to me like a fashion show that you might put on for the press to show the next year's styles and let the people judge what they think the styles are and how they're doing. I mean, I think that some obviously look as though they're ahead of others. Some are falling behind. Richard Gephardt is very big now because he has a real plan. And from there on, I mean, I think it's much too early to make judgments.
Okay, Dan. Thanks.
Sure.
NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore.